This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish Zephaniah with Israel's joy and restoration, and then move to 1 Timothy with introduction, using the law lawfully, Christ comes to save sinners, and shipwreck of faith. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave me.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O most merciful God, who has saved your
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
Merciful Father, your patience and loving kindness toward us have no end. Grant that by your Holy Spirit we may always think and do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from Genesis, the second chapter. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Pharisees came up and, in order to test Jesus, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this manner and about this matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto each and every one of you in the name of God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The text are the two readings read just a few moments ago from Genesis 2 and Mark chapter 10. Brothers and sisters in Christ, 48 years ago, my wife Heidi and I sat in these pews 3 weeks after we were married. Life was exciting, at least for me. I'd worked with the Synod and the United Van Lines the summer before, moving most of the senior college and its library to Ann Arbor, most of the Springfield Seminary and their profs to the fort, and the profs from the senior college to destinations unknown. The Lutheran schools in Fort Wayne weren't hiring semwives because they only stayed 2 years, so with a fresh degree from River Forest, Heidi had to find other work in town. And soon she realized that her life as a semwife revolved around her husband and his exciting life as a pastor. Not unlike military personnel and police officers, clergy couples experience the stress and strains of what can become a one-sided marriage. Counting vicarage, Heidi has packed up and moved with me 6 times, sometimes with children. It was said that one of the required classes here was euhology, and that the semwives actually received a PhD at graduation, putting hubby through. Since the Lord is the author and originator of marriage, he holds the blueprint, the recipe, the formula of a truly happy wedded life, and reveals to us that in his word. So I've discovered that many of the ingredients of God's design of marriage just happen to begin with the letter C. So I've entitled this sermon, Marriage on the Seven C's. The first C of marriage is for the word covenant. When two people are married, they make a covenant, a promise, a vow to each other. And for Christians, it's really a covenant between three parties, a man, a woman, and God, who cut the covenant. Part of the promise that brides and grooms speak to each other says, I take you for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part. And some of you are going to say, well, we've got the worse, poorer, and sickness part down pretty well. Every marriage goes through easy times and difficult times, no exceptions. The commitment that two people have is what keeps them together during the difficult times, so they'll still be together when the times of joy come. When your car gets a flat tire, you don't trade the car in and get rid of it. You get the tire fixed so you can go on. And marriages sometimes go flat, and you don't get rid of it. You fix it with the Lord's help. Part of that vow says, I take you till death do us part. Do people actually mean that when they get married today, or do they maybe mean till debt do us part, or disagreement or conflict do us part? A marriage vow is when two people, one man, one woman, declare to God, the world, and each other that from this moment on, we will live for each other alone, no matter what. With the Lord and with marriage, gender matters. And once it doesn't, that slippery slope slides all the way down to hell. Well, you'll be able to marry your dog. Just wait. And that brings us to the second C of marriage, cleave, the old King James. Cleave, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, proskolathosetai. Leave and cleave. Webster defines cleave as to glue, to cling, as in a state of permanence. So God says that only second to him, a husband or wife must stick with one another as their primary responsibility in life. Before any career or ministry, before their friends, before their children, and especially before their mother and father. In fact, God says to leave father and mother. A husband and wife must know that they each come first. Years ago, doing some premarital counseling, I asked a couple to write down 10 priorities in their life, as I often did, numbering them in order of importance, and then have them switch papers and look at each other's lists, hoping that God is at the top and his fiance is like right under that. And this particular time, I looked at the gal whose face turned pale. when she looked down and saw something like, number one, football, then basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, his job, and then her name, God, his family, and his truck. I'm not kidding you. And that's when the fun began that afternoon. A spouse needs to know that she's near the top, or he's near the top of the list, right under God. Well, the third C of commitment with your husband or spouse is, the third C is contentment. Or another C word for that might be chastity. The grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence until you get over there and find out that it's just got as many green weeds as your side, maybe even more. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 5 about marriage, drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. That's contentment, even if the water is starting to get a little rusty. Hebrews 13 says marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed be kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. But Satan says it's still okay to look. That's just window shopping. What's the harm in that? Now, that's window shopping with a brick in your hand. Our old nature and the devil are pretty sly and get us into trouble gradually. It's like the man who's on a diet who walks past a donut shop just to look. And the aroma of donuts brings him inside. And next he decides to just have one. And pretty soon he's going home with a dozen donuts and a buy one, get one coupon for next week. In the same chapter of Proverbs, Solomon warns against the temptation of a loose woman calling over a man. And it says, keep a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. Take the long way around. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let him or her who thinks they stand take heed lest they fall. It's not just the act, it's the thought. It's sinful. As Jesus reminds us, he who looks at another woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Most SEM students and clergy know that the actual physical adultery would be the end of their ministry and their career. So often their adultery of choice is the plethora of available porn on a screen. Some men may need to say no every single day to this temptation. If you fall, you need the forgiving grace of Jesus to wash away both the thoughts and the deeds and the memories, and then to hear the words of Jesus spoken to that woman caught in the act of adultery. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus died for her. He died for you as well. He washed your sins away with his blood. Repent, receive the sacrament, and ask God for contentment with your spouse. The next C is for companionship. Marriage provides companionship. During the 6 days of creation, six times in Genesis chapter 1, we read, and God saw that it was good. Each part was perfect, complete. But after God made Adam, for the first time, the scriptures inside, we read something was not good. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Adam by himself was not complete. He was notes without a melody line. He was a pen without paper. Some people are complete in themselves. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 states that some have the gift of staying single and others have the gift of being married. But Adam was not complete. So God gave him a mate, Eve. A companion with whom he could share his life. A husband or wife should be your very best friend. But the bond between a husband and wife must be deeper than mere friendship. God designed marriage to be the most intimate relationship that two people could ever have, a commingling of two lives, a total communion with one another. And that's the fifth C. And the two shall become one flesh. Physically, yes, but much more than that. Something that will never exist with a one-night stand. In about 1940, the late Peter Marshall, chaplain of the U.S. Senate, described marital union, or marital communion, this way. Marriage is not a federation of two sovereign states. It is a union, domestic, social, spiritual, physical. It is a fusion of two hearts, the union of two lives, a coming together of two tributaries, which, after being joined in marriage, will flow in the same channel, in the same direction, carrying the same burdens of responsibility and obligation. The miracle of marriage is when two separate people with their own identities and personalities become one in essence, faintly resembling the different persons of the Trinity as one God. Perhaps another description of the relationship is complementary, filling in the gaps or weaknesses of the other person. God said that he would make a helper suitable for Adam, not just like him, but different. The word for helper in our text, one who assists another to reach complete fulfillment, like God is our helper in Psalm 27 and 46 and 121. Husbands and wives are different in many ways, and God made it that way. If you were the same, you wouldn't need each other. A husband and a wife are like your two hands. They're the same, except one might be a little bit stronger or bigger. They're the same, but actually they're opposite. Just like husbands and wives. Yours are the same, but you're opposite, and that's why they work together so well. The sixth C of marriage is compromise. In Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then he immediately focuses on the responsibilities, the distinct responsibilities of husbands and wives in marriage. And that means that both husband and wife always put the other person first and themselves second, 100% of the time, 100% of the way, not halfway. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, love does not insist on its own way. Love is not self-seeking. That's selfishness, the opposite of love. When I sometimes hear SEM students or pastors tell their wives that they demand that they obey them in all things, they're confusing this section of Ephesians 5 with the pericope in chapter 6 directed to slaves and masters. Colossians 3 says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Other significant C's of marriage could be communication or concern or compassion, or perhaps children who are sometimes a part of marriage. But the last part of C of marriage I want to share with you today is of greatest importance, and it's confession. Confession and forgiveness needs to go on every day almost in a marriage. It's, you know, it's so hard to say the words, I'm sorry, or I was wrong, or please forgive me, or I forgive you. But they need to be said often to clean the slate. That's the difference between a Christian marriage and a worldly one. Saying that's okay or forget about it is less than removing the sin, as our Lord does, removing our sins. Christ doesn't excuse our sins. He removes it with his blood. And when we confess our mistakes to each other and forgive one another, we can go on through his blood. And he forgives us and gives us a new start. You know, marriage is tough. It's really tough. Years ago, I heard someone say, if only Jesus had been married, we could see how he dealt with all the problems and the stresses and the temptations that married people have, like muddy diapers and bills and disobedient children and leaky roofs and in-laws and PMS. Oh, but the Lord was married. The Lord is married. Just read Isaiah and Jeremiah and Hosea, who describe God's chosen people as his bride, whom he loved and cherished and provided for. But his bride left him to become intimate with all the false gods of the nations around them. Over and over, his bride committed lewd adulteries and broke his heart. But the Lord continued to love her, and he disciplined her and waited for her to return and repent, and he forgave her. This is the God who forbids divorce and adultery, not because he's a killjoy, but because he knows too well the pain that attends a lover's vulnerability, to spare us the unspeakable pain and shame and forms of loneliness that are scarcely imaginable until it happens to you. We follow the Lord's formula, his recipe for marriage, not just because that's how marriage works best, but because it gives the Creator glory and it defines the loving relationship that he has with us, his beloved bride. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Amen.
In our prayers, we remember Carrie and Paul Kroenke as they mourn the sudden death of Carrie's mother, Laurel Van Gundy. We also pray for Vicar Mark Langdon and family as they mourn the death of his grandfather, Jerry Langdon. We continue to pray for the victims of Hurricane Helene, even as we appeal for God's protection for those in the path of Hurricane Milton. Confident of the Lord's promise to hear our prayer, let us pray for the church, the world, and for all those in need. For the saints of God scattered throughout the world, that clothed by the righteousness of Christ, they may boldly confess his saving name, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation and those who lead it, that they would execute their duties faithfully as they provide for the needs of all citizens, and for the leaders of the other nations of this world, that they would work diligently to promote the cause of peace and justice. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who struggle to rebuild their lives following the devastation of Hurricane Helene, and for those in the path of the powerful storm bearing down on Florida, that God would give them protection, perseverance, and strength in the midst of their loss. Lord, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are sick and infirm, that God in his mercy would grant them health and wholeness, and that in the midst of their trials they would not lose sight of the Lord's many blessings, but would call on him without ceasing. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who receive the Lord's Supper, that they may partake of this precious meal in true repentance and be strengthened in holiness of life as they await the great wedding feast to come. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have gone before us and are with the Lord, including Laurel and Gary, we give thanks, asking that God would grant comfort to those who mourn, that he would grant us all strength throughout our days of pilgrimage in this world to love and serve him. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever.
Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. All give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us to this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.